Welcome back to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. Now we're going to turn the page and we're going to talk about the St. Louis Blues prospects. So little Blues from Albert King, interviewing Bill Armstrong, director of amateur scouting for the St. Louis Blues. And Bill, thanks for coming on the show. We always appreciate that.
Well, guys, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to come on.
Well, Bill, you know, there's a bunch of players that we want to get to talk to you about. And it took us a little while to sort of narrow down the list because you guys got quite a few interesting players in your system. And the first guy we want to ask you about is William Carrier, because this is a guy who both Russ and I watched last year. And it was unfortunate because he had the injury and ended up only playing 34 games. And, you know, when you're 6'2" and you're over 200 pounds and you have that type of offensive ability, like, can you honestly say that William Carrier would have been there at 57 overall if he hadn't got hurt? Because if he plays all 68 games and pumps out 84, 85 points, I think you guys would have been really hard-pressed to be able to draft him at all.
Yeah, you know, he's an interesting guy in the simple sense of location, where his team was, you know, the year before. As a scout, you kind of get a good read on underage players and kind of say, okay, well, this, you know, next year when it's his year for draft, I'm going to come back and watch this guy. But there are some places in the Quebec League, Cape Breton, Baie-Comeau, some of the places that are tough to get to. Rouen and Val-d'Or can be the same way at points in time. You don't get a lot of viewings on those guys unless they're really targeted. And, you know, we knew he was there in his draft year. He got hurt. So you know, you couldn't really dial in. It was really hard to get good reads in our area guy, Michel Picard, did an unbelievable job at the information he was able to acquire about him. And, you know, there's some risk with William, but at the same time, we loved him. I mean, we just thought, hey, this guy's his work ethic, you know, his build, his hockey sense. And, you know, for me, I honestly think he's going to be a better pro than he was a junior just because he has so many good habits and a lot of detail to his game.
Yeah, this was a really astute pick. I mean, you got him 57th overall, and it's just one of those guys that I don't think he came in with a lot of fanfare, and you guys pick him off the board, and you're already getting great results out of him, and every year scoring goals. Give me an idea of what makes you decide to go ahead and take a guy like this when you come up in the second round in a draft like that.
Well, you know, it comes as a staff. We work as a team, and we have our area guy that knows him, and our crossover guys come in and they watch him, and you kind of get your good base of the guys that you do like. And I think the one thing that stuck out with Carrier, from what we did know, was his skill level. His skill level was really, really high, and that's something that we thought, hey, we can get a guy way back in a second that has top two line ability. That's something that we want. And there's a little bit of risk because he's been injured. But at the same time, you know, he has that top two line ability. So that's the reason we were really excited to see he was there when our pick came up and we took him.
I noticed that in the neutral zone, he's got a real knack for being able to, like, steal the puck and a lot of times turn that into points. Was that something that you sort of noticed, that awareness?
Well, he does. He's a pretty crafty player. You know, the thing about him, I think, that's really going to help him is to get to the NHL, sometimes you need a little bit of a break to get you in there. And I think he can play almost from your first line to your third line. If he had to come in on the fourth line, just because of the details, like you talk about stealing the puck, you talk about going hard to the net, you know, you talk about getting open, and all these little things that he does so well. He can play a physical game, and he's even fought in the Quebec League. So he's got a lot of stuff that he can do that will help him get his foot in the door. And, you know, he's one of those guys that continues works on his game. He's always improving. So, you know, he's been a pleasant surprise, and we're happy to have him.
Bill, you mentioned that you think that he could potentially be a better pro than a junior player. And from your guys' viewing and obviously Michelle's viewing as a regional scout, when you're looking at statistics, was it as a matter of that he had just transferable NHL points? Because you can look at some junior players and they can put up really gaudy numbers, but if you watch the game, you go, well, that wouldn't happen in an NHL game. Like, he's not going to get those points there. Is William one of those players where the majority of his points would be, yes, you could see him getting points like that at the NHL level against NHL defensemen and forwards?
Well, absolutely. There's a lot of great junior hockey players along with great college players that don't translate to to being good pros, and even, you know, it just drops off. And sometimes it's a size thing, sometimes it's a speed thing. Where the game that William plays, it really doesn't have to change a lot. Where sometimes you get guys that put up high numbers, they might actually have to drop down to the third line, and they just don't have the habit or detail in their game to do that. And they're not skilled enough to beat somebody out at the NHL level of a top two line, but they're not gritty enough, and they don't play hard enough, and they don't have enough detail in their game to be a third liner, so they get caught in that tweener position and end up, you know, pretty much spending their whole career in the American League as a minor leaguer. And so I think sometimes when you have guys that, that have a little more detail to their game, whether it be grit, whether it be positional play, you know, then they have that opportunity to kind of ease themselves into the NHL, maybe in a third line role, and all of a sudden they move into the second line. And William has a chance to do that. He's one of those guys that, that, that certainly has a lot of detail.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Bill Armstrong, Director of Amateur Scouting for the St. Louis Blues. And Bill, I want to ask you about Jordan Schmaltz. I know we had a bit of a laugh about Jordan. You and I and Russ at the draft about Jordan's chicken legs, so we're going to give him a little rub for that. You know, 6'2", 190 pounds, but he's got, like, crazy, like, chicken legs. But this is a defenseman who, you know, we've seen play at Sioux City and in Green Bay, who clearly can play that two-way game and really push the pace. And if forwards turn over the puck, this is a guy who can really push it up the ice quickly in the transition game. And have you seen that over his last year and a half at North Dakota, beginning to make that transition?
Yes, you know, and along with him becoming a stronger player, he's, you know, at North Dakota, they do a phenomenal job there. Brad Berry, who runs the defense, and just about how they teach almost like a pro game, and the way that they work out off the ice, it's, you know, right after the games, they're lifting. And, you know, I went to see Jordan earlier in the year, and he's a different player in the amount of strength that he has now in his body. And he is someone that we project is going to be a top four defenseman, somebody that has a great feel to move a puck out of his own zone and in the neutral zone. And I think one of his strong points is running the power play from up top. He's got that ability to run the power play and be a difference maker. So, you know, he's slowly but surely developed each year. And, you know, we went back to see him this year, and he's even improved more. So we're excited about his improvement and his development at North Dakota.
Yeah, I had a chance to see him, talk to him before the draft and everything. And I was real impressed with him. I really liked the skating ability. I loved him, like you said, on the power play. Just a smart guy and definitely – looks like he plays a pro style already. I mean, he really does.
Yeah, he does. And you know, he's got some areas in his game, like all the prospects do, that has to tighten up to become a pro. But his game's going to transfer. I mean, it's, you know, to be able to get your big club to produce points and to get them to, especially the forwards, they got to have the puck in motion. It's really a hard game if the forwards are chasing pucks all day. And you see more and more teams, you know, with more puck-moving defensemen, just because the way the styles play, the forwards have to get the puck on the tape and be in full flight. And that's one thing I think that Jordan's going to add to us, you know, add to our team eventually when he gets up there, is that he can move that puck and he can find the first and second option.
Yeah, I had him ranked around 20, so the fact that he went to you guys at 25, I was even a little surprised, and that's why I imagine you were really happy.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, I mean, for us as a staff, we're ecstatic because of the fact that his upside, you know, he's got the projection to be a top four defenseman. So he's got that upside that we love about him. And, you know, we're also in a good situation with Shaddy and Petro and Bouwmeester that, you know, if eventually they do leave school and they come in, you know, they're not rushed into situations where they're overwhelmed, but they're groomed slowly. And I think that's probably an advantage for Jordan when he comes into our organization is that he's going to have time to mature into that role.
Bill, does that help as well when you're talking to Jordan, where you can point to a guy like Ian Cole, who was also like a high pick of yours, and that he's taken those like slow, methodical steps to move his way into regular ice time in the NHL? And to remind Jordan, that's a normal, that's normal process. That's actually what happens to guys who are excellent NHL defensemen or top four defensemen. They go through the same process. Does that make it easier for Jordan to sort of visualize the steps he has to take as he moves forward?
Well, it's always nice in the organization when you've had guys to make those steps from the minors up to the NHL, and now they're successful, because then you can kind of come in and the prospects can buy into that, say, this guy put his time in the minors, now look at the success he had, you know, and that's a really huge thing for the prospects to kind of see, whether it be Ian Cole or hopefully eventually Jake Allen makes that jump, or you know, Dmitry Yaskin or Ty Ratty or some of our other prospects. Now, when they make that, they pave a way and they show the other prospects, listen, if you put your time in and you develop right and you come to the rink and try and get better every day, there's a way to get from the American League up to the NHL.
When I was watching Jordan, so was Russ, we were talking about, we don't want, you know, when we're trying to say this guy's like this NHL player, we don't say he's going to have that type of career, but you can sort of see tendencies in a game. And when I see Jordan play, I saw them quite recently, is that Jordan Leopold type of game where he's a smart puck mover. You know, he manages the puck well. He's competitive. He's not a banger, but he just gets in the way and takes away time and space. Is that the style of game that you could foresee Jordan having at the NHL level?
Oh, yeah. He's going to have to make some adjustments. And usually the offensive guys, you know, when they're adjusting to the NHL game, playing defense is a little tougher. You get bigger, stronger guys down low, and you have to learn to contain those guys. And especially in our division, look at the size of LA and the size of Anaheim. I mean, they're just big teams coming at you. So that takes a little bit of time. And Jordan's game will eventually, you know, he's a 6'2 guy now, and he's adding muscle every year. So he's got to learn to grow into that role. I don't think he's going to be a banger. He's going to be a stick on puck, a guy that contains, but very, very smart in the D zone.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're talking about the St. Louis Blues prospects with the Director of Amateur Scouting, Bill Armstrong. And Bill, last guy we want to chat with you about before we head to break is Tommy Vanelli, who you got in a second round last year, who's in Medicine Hat. I just saw him recently. I'm going to see him again next week. Talk about like a tall, lanky, skinny offensive defenseman who has like many abilities as Schmaltz. And when you watched him play last year, did you guys have some similar visions of like, wait a minute, I think we just drafted this guy like a year ago?
Well, yeah, I mean, for sure. You know, again, you know, we're looking at the back of the second round and you're looking for upside. You know, and you're trying to project, you know, last year, you know, we picked, I think it was 56, and you're trying to project what all the other teams in front of you are going to do. And not get stuck with a guy that, you know, all of a sudden he's there and you're like, oh, we got to take this guy. We wanted to make sure we want this guy. And the amount of work, it was just, we put in a ton of work to try to search out. And Tommy Vanelli was a name that before we left for the draft, if we were able to walk out of him with the second round, we were going to be excited about it. He's a tall, skinny kid. He's 6'2". He's like 178 pounds. You know, but he has offensive flair, and he has the ability to run a power play, and he can transition the puck, and he's just a natural skating defenseman. So he's somebody we were really excited about. He's got a top four upside, and, you know, he's far away from the NHL, but there's potential there, and you can see it in the numbers that he's already put up in the Western Hockey League, and just the way he's played and his game slowly developing. It's going to take some time, because he's got to add some muscle, and he's really got to get used to the amount of games that they play out there in the Western Hockey League and the grind of the travel. But for us, that's such a positive that he's there in Medicine Hat. He's in the grind, and slowly but surely he's evolving into the D-man that we think he can be. And, you know, kudos to him for making that leap out there to the Western Hockey League and being successful so far.
Did he decide that on his own, that he wasn't going to take a full scholarship with Minnesota and decide to play with Medicine Hat because he'd get more playing time and play more games?
Well, that's something, you know, him and his agent had discussed and made the decision. Okay. You know, we listened to them. You know, for us, you know, we don't get too overly involved in the situations where they're choosing. They've got to be the one that's vested in the decision. If we're pushing to where we want them to go, it doesn't usually work out in our favor. So we kind of listen, and, you know, we might, you know, if they want to know what we think, we kind of feed them some information and some facts and that kind of stuff. But it's really up to the prospect, and they've got to buy into wherever they go.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to continue to talk to Bill Armstrong and chat about some St. Louis Blues prospects. So stay tuned on Hockey Prospect Radio, and we will be back right after these important messages.
HockeyProspect.com has the most extensive coverage for NHL, OHL, and Quebec Major Junior Draft coverage on the web. HockeyProspect.com acts like a 31st NHL team. They travel with NHL scouts across the globe, scouting prospects in all the major junior leagues and in international events. Their scouts provide game reports and rank players for the NHL draft. HockeyProspect.com is a respected source for independent scouting services and draft publications. Visit HockeyProspect.com today.
Welcome back to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're continuing to talk about the St. Louis Blues prospects with their Director of Amateur Scouting, Bill Armstrong. And Bill, you know, we were talking about offline about like a lot of your players especially are starting to come out of the second rounds. And what happens, one, when you trade some of your first-round picks away, but you know, Russ and I do a lot of data work, and we look at teams' success rate in drafting and developing, and the bread and butter tends to come in the second round, and I think you may have one in Ty Ratty. How happy have you guys been with his transition over from the Western Hockey League into the American League? Because you know you've been in the American League and know how tough that is for junior players to play against, you know, bigger, stronger, faster men. Are you happy with his progress so far?
Extremely. You know, there's always a bit of an adjustment when you go from junior to pro. That's the biggest thing. I mean, now you're playing with pro guys, and I think sometimes that the when the junior kids come in, they get their eyes so much on the NHL, they don't really realize how good the American League is. And it's for a lot of times it's a struggle in their first year. If they can put up close to half a point a game as an offensive player, it's a pretty good year. And then they usually come back and they're used to the grind, and they usually, you know, they really take off their second year. And Ty's in that right now. He's caught fire lately and you know, started to produce some points. And he's somebody that had to figure out the league with his size and ability and figure out where he could be successful and, you know, obviously improve at the same time. And he's done that. He's been really good lately, and he's kind of made that jump from being a junior to a pro.
Yeah, I love the way he's able to sort of skate through the high slot and with a really quick release, get shots on goal. He's just a natural goal scorer, and I like his speed on the break. It's real good. And actually, I'm noticing a trend now with the Blues. I had him ranked 26th. You guys took him 32nd. So basically, anywhere I have somebody ranked, if you go 6-7 spots later, you guys are right there. You always get the value.
Well, you know, Ty was an interesting guy because we really loved his offense, you know. And, you know, He's you know, just the way he thinks the game is a special thing. And, you know, for us to get him there, we were really excited about getting him in that particular thing. And we had three second-round picks, so he was our guy that we were kind of swinging for the fences with. And, you know, you're able to do that when you get three picks in the second round. So we were really excited when we got him.
Bill, when we're talking to your area scouts about a guy like Ty Ratty, right, you know, in junior, wasn't the fastest skater, but you know, managed to find time and space between defensemen to score goals and managed to get on top of pucks. And when you're looking at a guy like this, he's not the biggest guy, he's not the fastest guy, but he has the hockey sense and the ability to score goals when it really matters. Was the main concern that will his skating translate to a faster paced game at the NHL? And did you guys think that because he can move the puck so well and the game generally moves faster through the puck than, you know, through skating, that he was going to be able to translate his style of game into the NHL?
Well, Ty's one of those guys, you know, that we talked about that, you know, he has to make the top two lines, just his body type, the way he plays. You know, he's not to say that he couldn't play, but, you know, when you're projecting at the draft, you're saying, okay, he's got to be a top two line guy. So you got to come to the conclusion with him. Does he have enough ability, you know, mentally and physically, to be able to produce points at the NHL level? And we as a staff felt he did. We were willing to take that risk of, hey, listen, this guy's going to play at the next level because of his hockey sense and his ability. And the one thing we felt with the skating wouldn't be an issue. We always thought he was actually fast, and he just added to add some strength and some maturity to that. So we, you know, and
you know, at this point, Ty's been, you know, one of those guys, too. He's dug in. He's worked harder. He's got stronger. So he's been an easy prospect to like.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're talking about the St. Louis Blues prospects with their director of amateur scouting, Bill Armstrong. And, Bill, another second-round pick of yours who, you know, is getting a chance to play a little bit in the NHL, but most in the American League with the Chicago Wolves, and Dmitry Yaskin, who's a player who put up ridiculously monstrous numbers, 99 points in 51 games with Moncton in 2012-13. You guys have to be really thrilled with the first 29 games that he's played with Chicago, because he looked like he didn't miss a beat coming out of junior hockey into the American League.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was a kid that, you know, we had Billy Kieran on our staff, who's now with Columbus, but Billy did a really good job, him and Jan Volpat on our staff, and they were really certain about this kid. They had some strong feelings and some strong opinions that this was the right guy to take, and looking back on it, you know, we got a steal, in our opinion, of, you know, just the size of him and the way that he plays the game. And he can play from your first line to your fourth line. He has that ability. He can crash and bang. He can score. He can make plays. He's got a big, thick body type. You know, he does well with the tough games. So for us, he's been a great transition to come over here. And, you know, he went to Moncton last year, and they did a good job. Danny Flynn and Robert Irving out there in Moncton did a great job of bringing him in and letting him play. And, you know, for us, when he made the jump across into the North American hockey, that really helped him out. And now he's transitioned into the American League and NHL. And he's just been a great prospect to have, just with his work ethic and how bad he wants to be a player. I think the big thing that you always love about Dmitry is his confidence in himself.
Yeah, and that's, you know, one of the things I'm really curious about Dmitry is, you know, you said you probably play him up and down the lineup, but as you project him, you know, that's I give your scouts credit for that, because you know, the Czech hockey has not been what it's been, you know, 10 and 12 years ago, and you guys have, you know, a challenge in trying to, you know, project a player out of that league where the league's not as strong as it used to be. And was that a challenge when you're, you know, initially looking at a player like Dmitry?
Well, it was a challenge in some regards, because he played pro. You know, he was up in the elite division up there in Czech. So he was a 17-year-old boy. He was playing against men. But where we get the best scouting is when he went to the tournaments and he played in his own age group. Then you could really see how good he really was. And the things that Dmitry, you know, has accomplished, and just the way he plays is also due to his dad. His dad was a coach. Just the detail in this game about how hard he plays and how physical he plays. He doesn't play like your normal European player. He plays like a North American style game, and he can hit. He can, you know, he can score, and he can make plays. And he's someone that you know, he's going to have a chance eventually to fit into the Blues lineup.
Yeah, I like his heavy one timer, and I love the fact that he'll get around the net in traffic, and he's really good at deflecting the puck in too.
Yeah, he's got some good habits. You know, he plays that heavy game of hockey that Coach Hitchcock likes. So, you know, I know when they have some injuries, Coach, you know, Hitch likes to fit him in here and there. So he's had some opportunities in the NHL.
Yeah, I had Dmitry in my keeper league pool, and I had a massive trade that came over, and he had to go the other way to make it work. And I think I'm going to end up regretting that one. don't let me be the GM. But we'll see what happens. So, yeah, I can't cheer against him because he was one of my guys, but that may come back to haunt me. So we'll see. You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're talking about the St. Louis Blues prospects with Bill Armstrong, the director of amateur scouting. And Bill, next guy we want to ask about as well is Sebastian Wanstrom. I find him an interesting player because you know, obviously with how well, you know, Sweden has really started to produce players, and he's a guy that you took, you know, once again in the second round and had played pro, you know, for a few years in the Swedish Elite League. How do you think he's made that sort of transition over to the American Hockey League? Bigger ice surface, bigger, faster players. How has he handled that sort of the physical aspect of playing the North American style?
Well, with Sebastian, you know, it's been a little bit of a slow learning curve for him to come over here and play. But in saying that, lately he's played a really good role down there in Chicago, and he's made that jump. He's learned to play in the smaller rinks in North America, and that sometimes is a hard adjustment. Even the living and the cultural shock. You know, Dmitry Yastin was able to come over a year before he played pro, so he'd get a little feel for the culture. Sometimes that's a shock, the amount of games that they play. So, yeah, Sebastian's done an unbelievable job. He stayed here in the summer. He put on 20 pounds. He's worked really extremely hard to find a role in Chicago, and he's made great strides this year to be a pro.
Yeah, I like his skating. I like his passing. I like the way he works the corners well. And you know he has to be playing well if he's playing with the Wolves, because the Wolves, as we know, will only play the best players. They, you know, I know sometimes that'll rub teams the wrong way, where they'll send guys down just because they want to win.
Well, it certainly puts the prospects on an edge. They've got to be able to be, like you said, some of the best players on that team every night, and they've got to fight to get in the lineup. So there's no gimmies for our prospects. They've got to earn their keep down there in the American League, and it certainly puts a lot of stress on them. But at the same time, it forces them to be sharp every night. They're not just going in there because they're a prospect. They have to go in there and produce.
Bill, when you're looking at a player like Sebastian, and you have players that are coming over for Europe into North America who haven't spent any time in North America, and it is a massive culture shock. We think that, you know, obviously, North America is primarily based from European nations, but, you know, it's a vastly different culture. Do you guys sit down with guys like Sebastian and maybe even, like, room them with certain people to help them with that transition of, you know, the culture and the food's different and, you know, just travel and the amount of games? Because that's a big difference going through, you know, 78, 80 games in the American League compared to, like, 45 to 50 games in the Swedish Elite League.
Well, there's no doubt. When we try to bring them over in the summer, a couple times before they end up playing over here. So they get used to the staff, they get used to the surroundings, they get used to their teammates around them, and that kind of helps them with the transition. But at the same time, we also understand that in their first year, part of their first year is the transition, and you've got to be patient. You know, you get to the point where you see these guys when they get into January and February almost struggle a little bit. You know, they're probably homesick a little bit. They've been beaten on. They've played 60-some-odd games. But then all of a sudden they turn the corner during the playoffs, and you can kind of see that spark in the next year that they come back. They're used to the grind. They're used to the culture, and they make that big leap. So it's a process, but at the same time, you know, as an organization, we've had a lot of success with Europeans, whether it be Berglund, Tarasenko, Polak. They've all been a huge part of our organization, and you have to base that upon a little bit of a time and maturity getting over here and getting used to the culture.
You know, Bill, you know, the fact, because you were in the American Hockey League and obviously coached the American Hockey League, when you're evaluating those type of players, especially in their first 2 years, like, I break it down like this. I don't know if you guys do anything similar. I take a look at a player, and I look at his first 40 games, then his second 40 games, then the playoffs, and I go into year two, and I pretty much repeat that process and evaluate him a little bit differently on each stage to see if they pass that stage. And just from your guys' perspective of, you know, scouting and developing, do you guys have a sort of a similar process to knowing when they've passed a certain level and then you can move them on to another level and eventually into the NHL?
Well, we do. We have a lot of talk. We have, you know, a director of player development, Tim Taylor, and he does a great job with that stuff, staying on those guys, making sure they're on their weight, their diet, all that type of thing, and also being there when they do go through rough times and helping them along with their development. So once we draft them and they get to that stage, we really turn it over almost to the pro guys and the director of development, Timmy Taylor, and they handle. But they advise us and they keep us abreast with those guys. But it's almost that you expect them to go through certain learning curves, and whether they're just on the based upon their body types or where they're from, and you kind of expect that as they come. Some kids like Dmitry Yastin, they make that a little quicker. Some players, you know, it takes a little bit longer time. But you know, after you've been in it for a few years, you kind of expect that.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Bill Armstrong, Director of Amateur Scouting for the St. Louis Blues. Bill, last guy we want to chat about before we let you go is Joel Edmondson, who you took another second-round pick, who's in his rookie year in with the Chicago Wolves. Big, massive kid, 6'4", well over 200 pounds. And I always look at defensemen with curiosity when they're rookies in the AHL, because all of a sudden you don't have 17, 18-year-old kids coming at you. You have 23, 24, sometimes 30-year-old men coming down on top of you with that type of speed and strength and skill. And how well has he transitioned his defensive game into the American Hockey League?
Well, Joel's been great. Right from the get-go in Traverse City, he came in and he played a physical brand of hockey. And I don't want to say intimidating, but he's a big guy, and you know, he can back it up. And when you know, for him to play like that every single game and play, like you said, against men, it's pretty impressive. He has done a really good job. He's been one of our top prospects and has a bright future ahead of him. He can not only hit you, he can shut you down. He can also, you know, at the same time add a little bit of offense with his big shot. So he's a pretty well-rounded two-way defenseman. He's got some top four projection. Along, he's got some gritty sides. So he's someone that might come in as a five, and he might slowly grow into an NHL number four defenseman. So we're really happy with his development, and he's coming with the right attitude and the right work ethic.
Yeah, you know, I take a look at Joel. You know, is that him being a right-hand defenseman an advantage to him as he moves up, you know, into the NHL ranks? Because as we know, right defensemen tend to be a little bit more rare, especially guys who are that have that ability to be that big shutdown defensive defenseman who can kind of take away that whole right side of the ice.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the thing. We seem to have a lot of right-handed guys. We got all the stock taken in the NHL. So, but yeah, they are valuable. And just the way he plays in his game, it's a game that suits the NHL. And he can be a valuable asset for the St. Louis Blues. You know, in a few years from now, he can play some big-time minutes. And, you know, he's still got some work to do. He's got to go, you know, back to the summer and become bigger, faster, and stronger. But you can see the way that he's played this year that there's some good projection there, and he's got a chance to be an NHL player.
Well, Bill, we want to thank you very much for coming on our show. We always appreciate your great insight and your prospects, and we will see you at the rink down the road.
Well, Shane and Russ, thank you very much for having me. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Thanks a lot. That's Bill Armstrong, Director of Amateur Scouting for the St. Louis Blues. Russ and I are going to be back and talk about more prospects right after these important messages.